And I believe I have with me on the phone Rabbi Galperin.
Good morning, Ilan.
Good morning, Rabbi. How are you?
Thank God, Baruch Hashem. And how are you?
I am good. I am good. Back in the radio.
I'm happy to hear. Yes, sorry, I missed last week. I was on the way out.
Actually, so. Last week was a recorded show, but
okay,
you could
so
hear me even if it was recorded.
That's right, 100%.
So, Parshat Akev.
That's right. So, this week's Torah portion is Parshat Akev. And it talks about in this week's Torah portion that Moses continues his closing address to the children of Israel, promising them that if they will fulfill the commandments, the mitzvot of the Torah, they will prosper in the land they are about to conquer and settle in, and keeping God's promise to their forefathers. That's a good thing. However, Moses also rebukes them for their failing in their first generations as a people, recalling their worship of the golden calf, the rebellion of Korah, the sin of the spies. And he said, you have been rebellious against God. And he also speaks of God's forgiveness of this sin, and the second tablet which God inscribed and gave to them following their repentance. Also he talks about the 40 years in the desert. Moses tells the people where God sustained them with manna and so on and so forth. Where it says, we know the famous line, that man does not live on bread alone, but by the utterances of God's mouth does man live. And obviously, you know, talks about the fact of the of Israel being the flow of milk and honey, so on and so forth.
Yeah.
At the end, and a key passage in our parsha, is the second chapter of the Shema, which the first one was last week, the second one is this week, which repeats the fundamental mitzvah enumerated in the first chapter of Shema, where it describes the reward of fulfillment of God's commandment, and also, you know, how important it is to be able to have that love and that connection
with
God.
Yeah.
So, as we just said, Moses continues admonishing the Jewish people as he has started 2 weeks ago in Parshas Devarim. And this week he recalls their terrible failing of making the golden calf and how God wanted to destroy them. And Moses interceded with the prayer on their behalf. He then reminisces that God told him, chisel out for yourself two stone tablets like the first one. And the Gemara, the Talmud, asks the question in Darim, and he asked a very interesting question. How did Moses become rich? Because it seems that Moses was reported to be a man of considerable wealth. And so the sages probe, like anyone does, the source of his wealth. And their finding to this query was, to their question, Mipsolton Shel Luchot, which means from the chips of the tablets. And we know that it says, God told him, chisel out for yourself. And the sages deduce that Moses was permitted to keep the fragments that fell from these extremely valuable stones. Excuse me, when the lettering was being chiseled out of them. So, okay, it would make sense. Very nice. Moses became rich from that. Fine, no problem. But this observation is curiously baffling, because a popular law among decent people is that it is not right to count other people's money. You know, you hear so often that people, you go to people and you say, you know, you need them to give charity or this, and they say, why are you coming to me? Go and ask so-and-so. He's got much more money than me.
Yeah.
But he's got, and according to some commentaries, which is really the advice of Pirkei Avos, Ethic of Our Fathers, where it says, let the money of your fellow man be as dear to you as your own. And we are being taught that just as a person's money is dear to him and he does not appreciate other people discussing it, similarly, a person should treat his friend's money the same way. He should not count his friend's money. And undoubtedly, Moses was a person of great integrity. So why suddenly would the sages deem it proper and necessary to scrutinize his financial wealth? And, you know, the only way that I can look at it and think that when I've been looking into it, so on and so forth, in Rashi and the different chumashes, it would seem to me that no one really was questioning Moses' wealth. No one was questioning his wealth, because everyone was immensely impressed with his honesty, his loyalty, his integrity, and there was not a sliver of doubt about a single penny of his. Because if God felt it necessary to make Moses rich, no one had any reservation or envy. No one was jealous. This is what Moses decided. This is what God decided for Moses. However, in addition to his vast material wealth, Moshe was also the wealthiest person in the community in spiritual wealth. And this is what our sages were interested in. They knew very well that the material wealth is a gift from God, and that obviously he was supposed to have it, but spiritual affluence is the achievement of man. No one can give it to you. You have to do it. So the question was, how did Moshe do it? They were eager to know the source of his spiritual success. And perhaps they figured that if they knew how he acquired it, his spiritual success, it would be something that they too can also acquire and emulate. So what they concluded was that his part of his vast spiritual wealth was mitbolton shel luchot, which means the chips of the luchot. So that would be physical wealth, not necessarily spiritual wealth. But the only way we can explain it is in the following way. The Ten Commandments and all of the 613 mitzvot that are included in them are of equal importance. Now, however, today, there are some people who play favorites and show preference to some of the commandments. And some go a step further and to observe only some commandments and entirely neglect others. And these people compare some of the mitzvot, the commandments, to precious stones, and regard others as mere just, you know, quote unquote, just chips, which are much less valuable. Yeah. The chips of the tablets are symbolic of often neglected mitzvot. So our sages came to the conclusion that Moses reached his spiritual wealth because of his careful observance of every mitzvah, of every commandment, even those that some people consider to be merely just chips. What can we see from this? What can we learn? That Moses, being the highest level that he was, no one was questioning his material wealth. Because if God decided, naturally, God, he was someone that spoke to God face to face, if God decided for him to be wealthy, no one was going to question that. Great, he's going to be wealthy. Where they questioned was, if he was so spiritually a giant of a man, where did he get it from? How did that come? That's what they wanted to know. And they realized that Moses could say, listen, the person that I am, the stature that I am, I don't do little small commandments. I do only big ones. I do the ones that are important. The other ones, not really necessarily for me to do. I'll let the lower people do that. No! Moses did the lowest mitzvah. Well, we can't really say lowest, because we don't know what's higher, what's lower. But the seemingly lowest mitzvah to the highest mitzvah, he did it equal. Because people always ask me, they tell me, Rabbi, what do you think? Should I do this mitzvah or this mitzvah? You know, this mitzvah, I can get more reward, right? The small mitzvah, really? I don't get that much reward. Come on, it doesn't And the answer is, we have no clue how much each mitzvah, the reward, is going to be. The smallest mitzvah might be the biggest reward. The biggest mitzvah might be the smallest reward. We have to do each and individual mitzvah as though this is the most important mitzvah. And we leave the rest up to God to decide which one is important. In other words, which one you'll get a bigger reward, which one is less important. That's not our problem. We do what we need to do. I think that's a very, very important lesson that we as a people, as a nation, could learn from Moses and from this week's Torah portion.
Rabbi, what about services this weekend?
So we have services Friday evening, 7 o'clock. Shabbat morning is 9:30. And Monday and Thursday is at 7:15 in the Paratah. Sunday morning is at 8:30, followed by breakfast. So it's a great way to start off the day, start off the week, and spiritually infuse our body.
Rabbi, I want to thank you and to wish you Shabbat Shalom and great weekend.
You too, and I look forward to talking next week.
Thank you.
All right, be well, Ilan.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.